At night, a Christmas tree glows on a city bridge. Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Presents. Title, Angels and Ornaments. Cars drive down a New York City street. Text, Jesselyn Gilsig. A sign reads, 20th Annual Christmas Concert. A woman auditions for a panel of judges. Text, Sergio Dizio, Graham Abbey. Original music by Stacey Hirsch. Original song Twas the Night by Stacey Hirsch, Robert Vaughn, and Brock Walsh. Edited by Mark Arcieri.
Thank you, Corinne. That was lovely.
Thank you.
In the daytime, snow blankets the yard of a brick house. Winter sunlight filters through blinds.
Hi, you've reached Corinne. Leave your fa-la-la-la-la at the sound of the beep, and I'll send back a tra-la-la-la-la in two shakes of a reindeer's tail.
Corinne lay in bed.
Hey, Corinne. It's Tim. I've been calling and calling, and it's obvious that you're ducking my calls.
Corinne listens.
I'm sorry. I said a lot of things I wish I could take back, but I can't. Just give me a chance. That's all I'm asking. Meet me for coffee. Please? It's just not Christmas without you.
Corinne puts on a purple robe and goes to the kitchen.
Oh. Hey there.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Mom.
You don't sound very happy. It's me.
No, of course I'm happy. I'm just tired. I just woke up. Hold on, I'm going to put you on speaker.
Honey, you're still not hoping Tim's going to call, are you? He doesn't deserve you.
No, of course not. Don't be silly.
I can't help it when I hear my little girl's depressed.
I'm not depressed.
Why don't you fly out and spend Christmas with us?
I can't. This is Dave's busiest season. He needs me.
Well, are you at least doing Christmassy things?
Yes, Mother.
Tell me you have a tree at least.
I have a tree.
Two ornaments hang.
And is the caroler's ornament in the place of honor?
Of course.
You're sure it's not still in the box in a closet somewhere?
Okay. You're like one of those X-Men. How do you do that?
Mom power. And I was there for your teenage years, remember?
Okay. Mom, I've got to go. I have to get ready for work, but it will go on the tree soon, I promise, and I love you.
Love you.
Goodbye.
Corinne sets the phone on a dining table, then opens the double doors of a wooden cabinet. She lifts a box onto the table. Then, she takes a smaller box out. She lifts away cloth to reveal a glass ornament. Four Christmas carolers stand in front of a street light. One wears a red scarf with yellow stars on it. Corinne sits with the ornament. She smiles sadly.
That was true love. I wish I could find my one true love.
She talks to the ornament.
Why can't I find my true love? Answer me, are you? You're just gonna keep singing. I could put you back in the box, you know. No, I can't. My mom would know. I'm talking to an ornament. Coffee.
She sets the ornament down.
I need coffee.
Outside, Corinne wears a green coat and pink knit cap. She hurries down a sidewalk to Dave's music shop. Inside, a man holds a clipboard.
Sorry I'm late.
Because I know you love Christmas so much, I'm going to presume you were up late building toys.
Well, you did insist on asking Santa for a spaceship for Christmas. Do you know how hard it is to find plutonium these days?
Ah, yes, the old where do you get plutonium problem.
My mom called. They keep begging me to come to Florida for Christmas. It's just, I want my Christmas to be white and cold. Florida's warm and tan. And besides, whenever I do go to Florida for Christmas, I get stuck in the airport. Or I get sick from the kid in the row in front of me, who insists on watching me instead of the movie. And then if he sneezes, so much the better for his entertainment, but not so much for mine. And then when I get there, my mom, she just insists on parading me around like a trick pony to all her friends as if they've never met me before.
She's your mother. Comes with the dinner.
I know. It's just that when I get home, I feel like I haven't had Christmas. Like I never got to stop and sip the eggnog. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my family. You know that. It's just, I don't know. I just thought this year maybe I'd try doing Christmas on my own terms.
Hmm.
Like a person, like an adult. And besides, you need me here, don't you?
You're kidding me? I've had that seasonal help sign out there for 4 weeks and nothing. Even if I did find someone, they wouldn't be you. No, I'm serious. I mean, people come here because of you.
No.
I would like to see that trick pony impression, though.
I bet you would.
Dave grins. Then, Corinne plays a keyboard.
Up on the housetop, the reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys. All for the little ones' Christmas joys. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with old Saint Nick.
Customers gather.
All Christmas sheet music is 20% off. It's the perfect gift for the music lover in your family and a good excuse to gather around the piano.
I'll take it.
Good.
You're a lovely singer.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll see you at Carnegie Hall someday.
I can hear her sing the Christmas solo a lot sooner than that at St. Mark's Community Center this year.
Oh, a choral concert. How wonderful.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Nothing is official yet. I only auditioned yesterday. But all proceeds from the tickets do go to benefit the center and to buy music theory books for the children, take them to concerts and symphonies. Now, things that we take for granted, they can only dream of.
I'll take my son.
I'm going to pick you for that solo, Corinne. Corinne Nelson is Christmas. I once saw this woman tear up listening to Frosty the Snowman. It's not exactly poetry to music, but...
You were never going to let me live that down.
Well, they'll pick you. You'll see. Just don't leave me without my best saleswoman over Christmas if Carnegie calls.
Okay.
Dave steps away.
Do you two have plans for Christmas?
Who? What, me and, Oh! No, we're not, Oh, gosh, I've known Dave since high school. We're just very good friends and obviously co-workers.
Later, at home.
Corinne, Tim wasn't a hugger. I don't trust non-huggers. Any guy that doesn't like public displays of affection, you can't trust.
Corinne sits next to a friend.
You know I saw him in Macy's the other day. Flirting with one of those perfume sprayer harlots. Harlot? That's a good word. I used it in Scrabble the other day. But Corinne, didn't we drink a bottle of wine? You sang Hit the Road, Jack, and I set him on fire and sent him off to sea like a Viking funeral.
Well, as I recall, we drank, I sang, and you held your lighter up to his picture on your Facebook page, and then you unfriended him. Did the Vikings do that?
They would have. He never loved you for the right reasons. He loved what you did for his life with your beautiful spirit.
Corinne checks her phone.
Oh. It's an email from Dora, the chorus master.
So?
I can't you look at it?
Of course, honey.
Her friend reads.
Thank you so much for your wonderful audition. We were all surprised to hear how much your voice has matured over the years. Unfortunately, we feel Kathleen is better suited to blah, blah, blah. And we are thrilled to have you in the chorus. Oh, sugar, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Obviously, these people wouldn't know talent if it hit them in the face.
Obviously.
At least you made the chorus.
Everybody makes the chorus. That's why it's called the chorus. It's okay. And Kathleen is a beautiful singer, and she's been with the chorus for a long time.
You'll get it next year.
Thank you.
Now, what do you say we decorate that tree?
Good idea. Will you pass me the box?
Later, Corinne lifts the caroler ornament out of its box.
Well, isn't that beautiful?
My grandfather made it for my grandmother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He was a glassblower in a crystal factory before he was called to war. He first saw her when she started working there in the summer, and he said that she was the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen, but he was scared to death to talk to her.
Why?
He just thought that she was too good for him. So he spent 6 months watching her, longing to say something, never finding the words. And then on Christmas Eve,
They were the last two people at Mrs. Sweeney's Christmas Eve ball. And he went up to her and he said, "When I see you, I hear a song in my heart. And this is what it looks like."
She cradles the ornament.
And then he started to walk away. And she stopped him. And there, under the first star of the night on Christmas Eve, she kissed him.
Then what happened?
Well, he walked her home. And the next day, he came back and he spent Christmas with her family. And then they never spent a minute apart until he was called to war. My grandmother kept a scrapbook of everything. Look at this.
Corinne opens a scrapbook. In a damaged photo, her grandparents smile.
Oh, look at them.
I know. It's been damaged by time, but you can tell by the way he's holding her and by the way she's smiling. It's true love.
It's amazing.
He used to write her music instead of letters. He said it was the only way to truly convey what was in his heart.
She holds sheet music.
But he never came home from the war.
"For my dearest Emily, yours lovingly, H."
My grandmother used to play this music every day, every night. It was the only way that she could feel close to him. It was the night before Christmas when the last piece of music arrived.
Oh, so that's why you love that poem, "The Night Before Christmas."
Yeah. It also just gives me hope, you know, that this kind of love is possible. And can you imagine?
Corinne opens the door. Outside, four carolers gather. Their hats and scarves resemble the carolers on Corinne's ornament. One man wears a red scarf with yellow stars on it.
"Oh, ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king."
Tears shine in Corinne's eyes.
"That was wonderful.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Okay, gang, let's go."
"Wait, can I offer you some eggnog?"
"As tempting as that sounds, we have other houses that need some Christmas cheer."
"Of course. Thank you."
Inside, Corinne returns to the ornament.
"That is so weird. Oh, they all look like that. That Dickens light thing? I guess so.
Sure puts you in the Christmas spirit, though."
"Yeah, it does."
Corinne smiles. In the daytime, shoppers bustle along a city street. The caroler with the star scarf passes a hot dog cart. The vendor whistles at him.
"Harold."
Harold approaches the cart.
"Jerry, couldn't they have given me a better cover name? I mean, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? It's a little on the nose, don't you think?"
"Clichés are important when forming a narrative. They tap into the universality of mankind. You want to dispute the created by credit, go ahead, not me."
"They got you selling hot dogs now?"
"This is the best way to stand on a New York street without looking conspicuous. Here, take one."
"No, I don't want a hot dog."
"It's part of the cover. We got a lot of operations going on here, you know. We got Christmas wishes, we got important stepping stones to be laid. So, how'd it go?"
"Fine, I guess. She seemed nice enough. Who is she? The bio was kind of not there in the file."
"She's just a girl who needs your help."
"But why me? Why not get somebody from this time who knows the city better than I do?"
"Harold, these are the rules. You get your file, you don't ask questions. You maintain your cover. You never tell anyone who you are. You do what's asked of you by Christmas Eve, and you get your wings. Easy peasy."
"Yeah, it's only a week away."
"You got your watch. Good.
Thing is the file's right, and she believes in all this fairy tale stuff. That's not so easy peasy. What if I fail?"
"Well, then you end up running a hot dog stand like me, down here. Not that I'm complaining. It's very fulfilling. But trust me, the relish is much better up there."
"Thing about fairy tales, Jer, they don't exist."
"Did for you, didn't it?"
"That was a different time."
maybe. Don't tell the man upstairs that.
How do you know this Dave guy's still gonna have a job available?
It's a fixed game, Harold. You have a meeting with Dave at the Javits Inn in half an hour for your interview.
I didn't set that up.
The man upstairs does a great you. His McConaughey's not bad either. You gotta be slow.
But does it even make sense? I mean, if Dave and Corinne were gonna get together, wouldn't it happen already? They've known each other since they were kids.
If I'm told that you're supposed to get these two together, then that's what you're supposed to do. Come on. Sometimes people just need a little push.
I don't know.
You don't know. I do. Remember the deadline. You have until midnight Christmas Eve.
Yeah, no, I know that. And why so soon? What, are they turning to pumpkins or something?
Who says it's about them? Harold, this could be your last mission.
In the music shop, Corinne plays a keyboard. Dave leads Harold into the shop.
Corinne, meet our seasonal temp.
You're the caroler.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, one of them anyway.
Well, you two know each other?
They were caroling last night.
What a coincidence, huh? Harold.
Corinne.
Oh, that is pretty cool. I mean, I can't sing a note, but I've always been a sucker for Christmas carols.
Gosh, I've known you for so many years. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
I thought you'd always had me sing them because they attracted customers to the store.
Well, I do like that, but that's not why I have you sing. You should hear her, Harold. She's got the voice of an angel.
I wouldn't know. I never heard one.
No, that is just an expression. Nah, my little store one day, Carnegie Hall the next.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious, Harold. Corinne here is going to sing the solo at this year's concert.
No, I'm not. They gave it to Kathleen.
Oh, Corinne, I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
Oh, they obviously don't know talent when they see it.
Thank you.
Dave peers into Corinne's eyes.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's just a silly Christmas concert.
All right, well, I've got some paperwork to do, so Harold, I will take your hat and coat. And, Corinne, would you mind showing him around?
Yeah, of course. Welcome.
Thanks.
So we have strings and sheet music towards the back. Obviously, our guitar section. Mm-hmm. Some wind instruments behind the counter. And, wow, that's quite a watch.
Oh, yeah, that's, tells me how long till Christmas. I take it out during the holidays. It's sort of a conversation piece. Besides, it reminds me of what I need to get done by Christmas.
Harold points.
May I?
Do you play?
Been a while, but yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Harold sits on the keyboard bench and begins to play. Corinne turns from the counter to watch.
Beautiful. I've never heard that before.
That's because I wrote it.
Really? Thank you again for the caroling last night. You guys came around at the perfect moment. I really needed that.
Why?
Oh, you know, I just found out about the solo and just some other reasons. It's kind of complicated.
When people say it's complicated, it usually means heartbreak.
Is it that obvious?
Afraid so. Not alone. It's a common syndrome, especially during the holidays. Easter and St. Patrick's Day exempted, of course.
I was fine during Halloween.
He's an idiot.
Thank you. That's what everybody keeps telling me.
You still love him?
No. Yes, I'm... Oh, he's not right for me. It's in the past now.
He is not right for me. That's present tense. That's an ongoing situation.
She blinks away tears.
No, actually, it isn't, because he's... You know, he's with a perfume girl, a model girl. He's seeing a girl.
Then, like I said, he's an idiot.
Thank you. Maybe I should just find somebody else by now, huh?
Yeah, who knows? You might even find him right here in the store.
Yeah, maybe.
Under a blue... In an office, Dave reviews paperwork at a desk.
Hey, Dave. I'm just about to head home.
Hey, Harold, come on in. Have a seat. How'd your first day go?
You got a great place here. I'm gonna have a hard time competing with that Corinne, though.
Yeah, she'll always be my number one.
She's great.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, two of you, an item?
Oh, no. We're just good friends. Which, don't get me wrong, it's amazing. I mean, we laugh a lot. We really get each other. And if I had that with my past girlfriends, I probably wouldn't be single.
Maybe that's why you're single. Maybe you got to be with her.
No, I'm choosing to be single. I'm just taking a break from the dating scene. Don't tell me you're going to act like my sister now and try and set me up, are you?
Oh, no. I just think Corinne, she's one of the great ones, that's all.
Harold... You like her?
Me? No. My heart's been spoken for.
Spoken for?
Yeah.
Is she here in the city?
Oh, no, it's a long-distance thing.
Well, it must be hard.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's talk about you. I thought with you and Corinne being in such close proximity that...
It's too late for that. I'm firmly in the friend zone. Besides, I'm not her type.
Well, what's her type?
Every girl's type, I guess the bad boy, one who's hard to get. Which usually means selfish and self-absorbed.
Well, she was telling me she just broke up with a guy.
Yeah, Tim. Guy's a major jerk.
Yeah? Well, he's gone.
Oh, no, they've broken up before, you watch. He'll find some way to weasel his way back into her life.
Dave leans toward Harold.
Yeah, it really bugs me.
He looks at her photo.
I mean, look at her. She's beautiful, right? She's funny. She's smart. Any guy would give his right arm to go out with her.
Dave, you don't have to be Mr. Right. You already are right for someone.
Yeah, just maybe not Corinne.
She needs to know that Tim is the wrong guy for her. You can help her see that.
How?
She needs to know she's appreciated.
She is appreciated.
Well, she needs to hear it. You really like her, don't you, Dave?
Dave's face softens into a smile.
Yes.
So why don't you tell her?
Because she doesn't look at me like that.
That's why you have to tell her. Get her to take a second look.
Well, it's not that easy.
With my help, Dave, it will be.
I don't know, Harold.
Trust me.
As Harold smiles, Dave's brows lift skeptically. Later, Corinne decorates the music shop.
Sure is beautiful this time of year with all these Christmas decorations, huh, Dave?
I usually leave that stuff to Corinne. She always makes the place look so welcome.
Oh, but I'm sure you enjoy Christmas in your own way?
Well, my parents owned a restaurant, so they always worked on the holiday, and I bust.
You had a tree, didn't you?
No. We did have a piano. No, my dad would always string a set of lights on it.
No, that's right. I remember. It was the Christmas piano.
Yeah, my parents thought having live music in the restaurant would bring in business over the holidays. And you know something? Those Christmas carols were the one true taste of Christmas I had every year. I mean, everyone was so happy when they heard them. One couple said that the music actually made the food taste better.
Is that why you opened the store?
I never really thought about it. I suppose it is. I mean, I love the sense of community those Christmas carols created in the restaurant. And I don't know, I just wanted to have that year round.
That's sweet.
Dave smiles at Corinne. Harold watches carefully, then turns back to decorating. At night, city lights glow. At home, Dave looks up from his desk. He goes to the front door. Harold gives Dave his coat and hat.
Are you ready to get started?
What, are you going to teach me how to salsa?
Do I look like I know how to salsa?
Good point. Listen, Harold, I appreciate you trying to help. I really do, but I think the Corinne ship has sailed.
Nonsense. I know true love when I see it. And just because I can't be with mine at Christmas doesn't mean you can't be with yours. Besides, you gave me a job when I really needed it. I just want to return the favor. You just need a few pointers. May I?
Bookshelves line the walls.
I had no idea you were such a reader.
Oh, yeah, I've always loved it. It keeps me sane.
And you said you never travel. You go somewhere different every night.
That's not quite the same thing. I have always had an active imagination, though unfortunately things are easier in books than real life.
That's where you're wrong, David. There are stranger things that happen in real life than happen in any of your books. There are more things, Horatio.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Harold grins.
Hamlet aside, what do you think I should do?
First of all, you compliment her. Notice what she's wearing and tell her how good she looks.
Well, she always looks great.
You have to say it. Women, they love to hear it.
Okay, all right, I'll tell her.
Okay, that's good. And then once you tell her again.
Well, won't that get kind of boring?
Oh, believe me, you can never say it enough. And you gotta try to be romantic.
How do you expect me to do that?
You gotta be bigger. Make the grand gesture, more extravagant. I mean, look at this place. You can't tell me that deep down you're not a romantic. Nobody can love literature this much and not have a little bit of the poet.
Harold peers at a paper.
What are these?
Oh, this is something I scribbled in my free time. It's
not something that's...
As Dave tries to take the paper, Harold dodges.
Dave, these are good. You really are a poet.
It's just it's a stream of consciousness. I'm hardly a poet.
We are all kings, all poets, all musicians. We have only to open up, only to discover
what is already there. Yes, Henry Miller.
There is hope for you yet, David. We just got to get Corinne to see it. And we just got to make a few small adjustments on the outside.
Harold grabs his coat and hat.
Game is afoot, sir. Come with me. Come on!
Dave wears sneakers into a clothing store.
If a man's fortune does not fit him, it is like the shoe in the story. Too large, it trips him up. Too small, it pinches him.
I don't think Horace was actually talking about shoes, Harold. I have perfectly good shoes.
David, those have seen better days.
Wow, tell me how you really feel.
Dave, come on. You're a musician. You gotta look the part.
I am not a musician. I'm a music store owner. It's a big difference.
You know how many people think that's the coolest job in the world? And those shoes, those shoes, musicians shouldn't wear those shoes.
Fine, I'll take those.
Wise.
Then, Dave tries on a leather jacket and sunglasses.
Yeah.
As Dave walks away in search of different clothes, Harold browses a newspaper. Dave returns in a gray suit and blue shirt with a blue tie.
Perfect.
I don't know, maybe something a bit more conservative.
No, it's perfect. You want to stand out. You do not want to be an extra in the movie of your life.
Not when you put it that way.
In the daytime at a cafe, Corinne and Harold wait in line.
I can't believe that Dave opened this door because of Christmas carols.
Well, sort of amazing if you ask me.
I know, I was floored. I mean, Dave's always so...
What?
I don't know, he's so down to earth.
Is that bad?
No, it is if you never look up. I mean, look at the city. Everyone is happy and smiling. I know it only lasts a couple weeks, but shouldn't we enjoy it while it's here? I swear, Dave would rather just stay home and look at the store's financials than see all this.
Well, how do you know he's doing that when he's at home? He might be there reading Shakespeare and Wordsworth.
Believe me, I know Dave. He is the most no-nonsense, self-sufficient guy I've ever met. He's been that way since high school.
He's happy that way.
Oh, he surprised you with the Christmas carols. How do you explain that?
I don't know. Maybe it's like one of those rare comets that only comes around 100 years. May I have a grande peppermint latte, please?
What are you drinking, Harold?
Sure, eggnog.
At home.
So wait, you think he wants to set you and Dave up? Who is this guy? Harold?
Corinne serves cocoa.
He's a little out of touch, but he's very sweet. Do you know he has a watch that's counting down the days to Christmas?
Excuse me, what?
Yeah.
You don't find that a little strange?
That's really strange. Oh my gosh, you know what gets stranger? Dave opens up and says that he started the shop because of his love of Christmas carols.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of romantic.
I guess.
So this Harold has matchmaker syndrome. I never trust matchmakers. They're meddlers. And it usually means they can't solve their own problems, so they gotta solve everybody else's. What's his background? Where's he from? My point is you don't know the first thing about him. And if he's trying to get all up in your business, you need to find out why.
Dave wears his new suit in the shop.
Morning.
You look radiant this morning.
Radiant? Who are you and what have you done with Dave? Is he some ID?
I haven't been carded in years. I'll take that as a compliment.
Is that a new suit?
Yeah, I figured it was time for a little wardrobe update.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, there's some pastries here. Help yourself.
Corinne's brows lift.
Wow.
Yeah, they're from Panetteria Alangolo.
Okay. Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Dave smiles. Later, Corinne carries her phone into the shop's office. She opens a file cabinet. Corinne searches through papers, then lifts out Harold's application form. She snaps a photo of the form. She peers over her shoulder, then quickly returns the form to the drawer. Harold arrives at the shop. He removes his gloves and star scarf.
Hi, Harold.
Wow, it's a cold one out there today.
Is this your first Christmas in New York?
Yeah, actually.
Where do you normally spend the holidays?
Oh, here and there. First time in New York.
Oh. Was it cold where you grew up?
Not like here, but it could get kind of chilly.
And where was that?
It was a little town in California, Silverton.
Oh, you know, I have family in San Diego. Is it near there?
No, north of there.
When did you leave there?
Long time ago. Oh, look, I've got to help her.
Harold walks toward a customer. Corinne takes out her phone and types Silverton, California in a notes app. Dave approaches.
Yeah, I like your earrings.
Oh, you are so full of compliments today.
Oh, they're very festive.
Oh, they used to be ornaments.
Oh, I like them.
Oh.
Dave knocks over a display. As he and Corinne crouch to clean up, they lock eyes.
I'm gonna be in my office because the year-end taxes won't do themselves.
As Dave hurries away, Harold comes over.
You see what I mean?
Well, he is trying to run a business. You got big plans for tonight?
No. I have piano lessons and chorus practice.
You take piano lessons?
No, I teach piano. I volunteer at the community center. I spend a lot of time there. I'm even on the board of trustees.
Really?
Sounds impressive, but I just do whatever I can to keep the children happy.
As Corinne steps away, Harold stares into the distance, deep in thought. Later, people ice skate outdoors. At a cafe, Harold carries a sandwich to Corinne and joins her at a table.
Oh, that looks good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know.
Corinne spots a man with his girlfriend. She drops her fork and crouches to get it, her back to the man.
Let's go, gorgeous. We're just off to the right here.
Harold sits down at the table.
That was Tim, wasn't it?
Yeah. 3 weeks and he's already found somebody new. Guess that's what I'm into him.
Well, he's not the one.
Harold. Told the one thing. It's such a fairy tale. Anyway, I'm done with dating for a while.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Do you always pry this much into other people's business?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to help.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Corinne, falling in love, being in love, is one of the most wonderful things a human being can experience. And you can't shut yourself off to that just because of one bad situation. Taking chances is a part of life. Look at Dave. Oh, he's taking all kinds of chances.
Dave bought a suit.
Oh, did you see the shoes?
I kind of like the old Dave, even with the worn-out loafers.
Harold's gaze lowers to the table.
Are you okay? Did I say something wrong?
Oh, no, I'm fine. You got me thinking.
What?
Just sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Let's talk about something else.
In the office, Dave files paperwork.
Hi.
Hi.
Got a sec?
Sure, yeah.
Corinne comes into the office. She avoids Dave's eyes.
What's up?
I saw Tim. At the traffic tent.
Did you talk to him?
He was with somebody.
That must hurt.
It does. I want you to tell me. Am I not fun enough or pretty enough or smart enough? Tell me what's wrong with me.
Okay, we've been friends a long time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so believe me when I say this. You are.
I am.
Enough.
Corinne smiles and rests a hand on Dave's shoulder.
Thanks, boss.
For what?
For being a friend.
Well, I guess you're stuck with me, right?
Ditto.
Corinne heads toward the door.
Hey, do you want to go out tonight? We'll just have some fun. You could use a little Christmas cheer.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Thanks.
As Corinne leaves the office, Dave smiles. At night, the city's skyline glows. Corinne and Dave enter a restaurant together, chatting and smiling. I get to you, hoping you might. A host leads them toward a table. Dave helps Corinne out of her coat. But I can promise you a million happy. As they browse menus, they continue to chat and laugh. Back at the shop, Corinne and Dave sit at a table with mugs.
Tell me something. Do you read Shakespeare? Or Wordsworth?
Why?
Just something Harold said.
Okay, yeah, well, you remember when you used to cheat off me in English Lit?
Yeah, how could I get through Lord Byron without you?
I guess I got a taste for it back then. And you might say ever since, I've been hooked on the written word.
Do you ever write anything yourself?
I've tried. How about you?
Well, once, sort of.
Sort of?
Well, when I was 7. I wanted to give a gift to my grandmother, but I didn't have any money, because what 7-year-old does.
I knew Christmas Eve was always very special in our family because that was the day my grandmother had received the last piece of music from my grandfather in the mail. He never came home from the war.
Right, the sheet music I heard you playing in the store.
She used to tell me how she would run to the mailbox every day to get the music and then run back to the piano and play it. And the night before Christmas was the last time she received a piece of music. So even at 7, I knew that Christmas Eve was very special to her. So I took The Night Before Christmas by Clement Clarke Moore, and I turned it into a tribute to my grandfather's memory.
Okay, that may be the sweetest thing I've ever heard. You still have it?
When my grandmother died, my parents asked if there was anything I wanted her to take with her to heaven. So I gave them the poem.
Well, at least you had that Christmas together, right?
It was my favorite Christmas. What about you? What was your favorite Christmas?
That's easy. I call it my snowstorm Christmas. It snowed and snowed. Must have been at least 2 feet of snow that year. And my dad knew there was no point opening the restaurant, so we stayed home and we had a real Christmas for once.
And then what did you guys do?
We had dinner. I mean, my dad was a chef, so dinner was always great. Mm-hmm. No big deal, nothing special.
Dave's brows knit.
No, you know, it was special. We never sat around and talked. And I never felt closer to my family than that night.
It sounds like a real Christmas.
Yeah, that year at least. Next year was back to work, business as usual. I never forgot my snowstorm Christmas.
I think maybe you are a poet.
They share a smile.
This was really nice. Thank you.
Corinne rests her hand on Dave's hand. He puts his other hand on top of hers. They look into each other's eyes. Then, Corinne looks away.
You should get going. Good night.
As she stands to leave, Dave watches her go. Outside, Harold watches from the sidewalk. In the daytime, Corinne teaches a children's piano class at the community center.
So the grand staff is the squiggly line that connects the treble clef with the bass clef. We use it during piano and...
Dave walks in.
Hi.
One sec. Hi. What are you doing here?
I brought something.
I'm in the middle of class.
No, it's not for you.
Who's it for?
For them. That's a little early Christmas present. I mean, you're always telling me how you wish the community center could afford music books, and the local conservatory happens to be a client in my shop, so I hit them up. Here you go, guys. Merry Christmas.
Well, what a pleasant surprise. kids, let's thank our music benefactor, Dave, with a round of applause.
No. I only ask one thing.
What's that?
You guys let me stick around and be part of the class. What do you say, huh?
In the hall, Harold watches with a smile.
Who remembers what I was
saying? Attaboy, Dave.
Nobody? Okay, we were talking about the grand staff.
At night, Corinne peeks through a curtain on her front door.
Corinne, please open up.
No, but please go away, Tim.
Please, just let me talk to you.
There's nothing to say.
5 minutes, that's all I want. Look, if I promise not to come inside, will you at least open the door? I brought you something.
Corinne shuts her eyes and grimaces. Then, she turns and opens the door. Tim holds 2 dozen roses.
I'm sorry. 5 minutes, come on.
In the living room.
Corinne, look, I know there's no reason for you to take me back, but I've changed.
I want to believe you. I really do.
But you don't.
Corinne, I love you. I respect you, and I will walk out that door and never come back if that's what you want.
I don't know. I don't know what I want.
Look, you know why everything felt wrong when you were gone? Because everything right was you. Goodbye, Corinne.
No, just wait.
Corinne faces Tim, her hands on her hips.
I can trust you.
Just give me one chance to prove that you can. To prove that I can be the kind of man that your grandfather was. I have it in me, Corinne, I do.
Corinne's gaze lands on the caroler ornament. Then, she peers up at Tim.
Okay. One date. But I'm not making any promises.
Tim grins. In the daytime, at the shop.
Hey, I stocked all the sheet music.
Corinne finds a white gift box on the counter.
Who's this from?
Dave shrugs. He smiles to himself as Corinne opens the box. Nearby, Harold watches. Corinne lifts a caroler in a red coat from the box. She smiles at the little ornament.
That is so thoughtful. We were just talking about my grandfather. Do you mind closing for me?
Yeah, sure. Are you going somewhere?
Yeah, I gotta get him something.
Who?
Tim. Thank you.
Corinne smooches Dave's cheek, then hurries out of the shop.
It was for me.
Dave stares into the distance, upset. He shuts his work binder.
This isn't working.
Dave stands up and heads toward his office. Harold watches, worried. At the hot dog cart.
I don't know what to do. It's just under 33 hours to Christmas Eve.
Jerry gives Harold a stern look.
You know the rules. They cannot be broken. Come on, Harold. You can do this.
It's not fair.
Nobody ever promised you fairness.
I just don't think it's possible. Why her? Why him? Why did they have to be together? Look, I know this is supposed to be my last deed, but maybe you can find me something else. Something new. Something that's not just shy of a miracle.
Harold?
Who does she think she is?
You really haven't put this together, have you?
What?
You need the Christmas spirit.
What are you talking about?
Selflessness.
I think I've been plenty selfless.
No, you haven't. You've been so busy thinking about the next step for you that you haven't really taken the time to get to know your subjects.
Come on, Cher. Cut me some slack.
As Harold walks away, Jerry follows him down the sidewalk. They sit on a bench.
It's great helping people out and all, and I love doing it, but I just wish I had the chance. I had a girl. She was the most beautiful girl that I'd ever met. And this was hers.
Harold peers down at his star scarf.
She gave it to me before I left. And I've never taken it off. We were newlyweds when I got shipped off to fight in the war. I was gonna be a father. But it didn't work out like that. Now this is all I have left of her.
I know. That was a tough break.
When I'm down here and I see people giving up on love, not opening up enough to let someone else in, I just want to grab them and I want to shake them and yell, "Wake up!"
I'm sorry for what you've been through. I wish I could change it. I do, but I can't. You want some advice?
Harold nods.
Let go. Let go of you. Focus on them. And trust.
in what?
More will be revealed.
As Jerry nudges Harold's back encouragingly, Harold considers Jerry's advice. At home, Corinne holds dresses in front of a mirror as she gets ready for her date with Tim. She puts the dresses down and goes to the door. She peers through the curtain and opens the door.
Harold!
Hi, Corinne.
What are you doing here?
I was in the neighborhood. I just thought I'd stop by. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course not. Come in.
Harold steps inside. He catches sight of Tim's bouquets.
Well, that's a lot of flowers.
They're from Tim. He stopped by last night.
Tim. I hope you kept the flowers and you threw him out the door.
We talked. He wants to get back together. So, we're going to go on one date and we're going to see what happens.
Harold looks through the scrapbook.
I'm a little bit nervous, but he did seem sincere. And I'm just going to keep an open mind and see how it goes tonight.
He finds the photos of Corinne's grandparents and takes one out, hiding it behind his hat. Corinne sets a mug on the coffee table. Harold stares up at her, dazed.
I'm sorry, what?
Tonight, we're gonna go on a date tonight and see what happens.
Harold looks Corinne in the eyes.
You know what's gonna happen. He's gonna smooth talk you and make you forget every bad thing he ever did, and then you're gonna forgive him, and then he's gonna hurt you all over again, and you're gonna feel twice as bad as you do now. Corinne, you know I'm right.
I know you're trying to be a friend, but I'm not going into this with my eyes closed.
You're making a big mistake.
I don't want to be rude, but I do have to get ready for my date.
Corinne stands. Harold stares up at her, then slowly rises. He heads toward the door. He turns back to look at her.
I know love, Corinne.
Harold, if you're such an expert, why are you alone?
Because I had it. I had it, and I lost it.
Tears well in Harold's eyes. Overcome with grief, he covers his mouth and leaves. Corinne stands alone and thinks about Harold's advice. She sits down in an armchair and picks up a laptop from the coffee table. Corinne searches for Silverton, California. She clicks on a people search website for the city. Then, she types Harold's name into the search. Corinne stares at the screen, then shuts the laptop. She puts the laptop back on the table. Then, she sits on a couch and picks up her grandmother's sheet music. Corinne studies the music, her chin resting on her hand. Then, she picks up her grandmother's scrapbook. Corinne flips past old photos and mementos. Her grandparents' faces gaze up from the worn pages. In place of one of their photos together, she finds a worn photo of two soldiers. Corinne continues to flip through the scrapbook. She sits very still, deep in thought. At home, Dave reads an Emily Dickinson book in an armchair. He goes to the door. Harold comes in.
You know, we really have to stop meeting like this.
Harold checks his Christmas watch.
Dave, we have to talk about Corinne.
Shocking.
She's on a date with Tim.
Well, that's her choice.
What's wrong with you?
Look, will you stop being so melodramatic and please leave my apartment?
Dave, wake up. Look at this place. Chock full of intelligence and emotion and romance and beauty.
love poems written by poets who dare never experience it for themselves. Petrarch wrote some of the most wonderful sonnets in history, all dedicated to Laura, a woman who never even knew he existed. Dante wrote the Divine Comedy, one of the most sublime pieces of poetry ever, all dedicated to Beatrice, the love of his life. He'd walk by her on the street, never saying a word. Dickinson, lovely poet, beautiful insights into love and humanity, spent her whole life on the second floor of her house, closed off from the world. People talked to her through a closed door.
Well, your impassioned speeches are not gonna work this time. Corinna's made her choice.
Dave, I lost the greatest love of my life. And there is not a day that goes by that I don't miss her. And I feel that loss with every breath. I don't want that to happen to you. You and Corinna are made for each other. You gotta fight for it. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
What do you want me to do? You want me to track them down and deck Tim in front of her? Sing madrigals at her balcony? No.
Look, there's the door.
Okay? I'll see you at work on Monday.
Harold blinks, then slowly walks toward the door. In the entryway, he turns to Dave.
Don't you want to fight for her?
Dave turns to Harold, unsure what to say. Then, Dave looks away sadly. As Harold leaves the apartment, Dave's eyes squeeze shut. Harold walks along a sidewalk decorated with Christmas lights, his eyes misty with longing. People walk around him. Harold stands alone in the cold as his eyes fill with tears. Then, he presses his star scarf to his face and cries. Harold gazes into the night sky. Meanwhile, Corinne and Tim sit at a table in an upscale restaurant.
This is beautiful.
Like you.
Thank you. I was thinking after dinner, maybe we could go skating.
Do you remember the last time we went ice skating?
Yeah, I know. I twisted my ankle, but we had so much fun.
Yeah, we were sitting in a hospital waiting room for like 3 hours.
Okay, yes, true. But to be fair, I did tell you that I didn't know how to skate, and you let go of me too early, so I just thought maybe this year you could redeem yourself.
Corinne, I wanted to show you how much I care about you. That's why I brought you here instead of the skating rink. And I thought after we can go see the Christmas lights in the park.
They're almost as beautiful as you. Almost.
Corinne smiles.
That sounds so nice. You know, I don't think I realized that you were so romantic. You're very good with the flashy gifts, but that Christmas ornament you gave me was so perfect.
Ornament? What are you talking about?
The little glass caroler, the one that looked like what my grandfather gave my grandmother.
Tim stares blankly.
Yeah, not ringing a bell.
Corinne's eyes widen with realization.
It was Dave.
So what? He bought you an ornament because it's cheaper than a real gift. How does a week in the Bahamas sound? I figure we can get away from all this snow.
You know, I do want to get away. From you.
She leaves.
Corinne, come. Corinne!
Alone at the music shop, Harold plays a piano. Corinne hurries down a sidewalk. Outside the music shop, she stops and listens. Corinne steps into the shop behind Harold, mesmerized by his playing.
I thought I was alone.
How do you know that song?
Heard you playing it in the store.
No. No, it never had an ending. I was missing the last page. You just played the whole song.
Well, I guess I, improvised. Sort of felt the music. Kind of tells you where it needs to go.
Who are you?
You know who I am. I'm Harold Wagner from Silverton, California.
No, there is no Harold Wagner from Silverton, California. Who are you?
Okay, Corinne. The truth is, I got that song from my grandfather. My grandfather who got it from his best friend, Henry Stockton. The man who died saving his life during the war. Henry Stockton, your grandfather.
I think you're lying.
I'm not lying. I came here to give you what rightfully belongs to you. But I was afraid to tell you my story because I thought you'd think I was crazy. So I made up the whole Silverton thing. I'm Harold Wagner from Chicago. But I just felt so at home in this store, I didn't know how to tell you the truth.
Do you know how unbelievable this sounds?
Probably as unbelievable as this.
Harold takes off his star scarf. He holds the scarf out to Corinne.
Your grandmother Emily gave that to him, didn't she? Look at the embroidery on it.
An embroidered inscription reads, Henry, my love is always with you, E.
E for Emily.
Corinne peers up at Harold, then down at the scarf. Overwhelmed, she carries the scarf to the piano bench, then sits down.
You should have told me.
Wish I did.
Would you like to see them? I have a scrapbook with photos.
Don't you have a date?
That didn't work out, you were right. Come over for tea. I could tell you my grandparents' story.
I'd really like that, but it's a little too late for me.
Harold smiles sadly, then puts on his hat. Corinne remains on the piano bench. Then, Harold puts on his coat. Harold looks her in the eyes.
Some other time.
Corinne watches Harold leave the shop. She cradles her grandmother's scarf in her hands. At the community center, Dave plays a tune as musicians arrange themselves for practice.
Oh, excuse me. Are you Dora Montrose?
Yes.
I'm Dave Sheridan. Nice to meet you.
Oh, is there something I can do for you?
Yeah, I was given this flyer.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a wonderful concert tonight. Did you know that this year we're going to be broadcast on television?
Really? That's great.
Well, it's public broadcast, but still, something.
Corinne Nelson is a friend of mine.
Well, then you should definitely come. She practically keeps this place afloat.
It says here that you wrote some of the music.
Well, it's a mixture of traditional and original, and yes, I wrote the original.
I have a favor to ask you.
Sure.
I want to make a slight addition to this evening's program.
An addition?
I want to surprise Corinne with an original song with her own solo.
I'm afraid there's only time for one solo.
Dave eyes the musician's instruments.
Does the center own all of these instruments?
No. They're on temporary loan from a local school. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Wait. Would you reconsider if I was to donate some instruments to the center?
As much as I'd like to, Mr. Sheridan, I can't.
I can.
Mr. Sheridan, this is Kathleen.
Oh, Dave, Hi. Nice to meet you. You're seeing the solo tonight, aren't you?
Yes. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. It's the most romantic thing I've heard in a really long while. You must really care about her a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Dave grins.
Dora, my voice is really strained. I can sing the solo next year.
Really?
Kathleen grins.
So, you were saying, Mr.
Dave. Please call me Dave.
At the hot dog cart.
You came dangerously close to breaking the rules last night.
I didn't write the Silverton cover story. Why not give the identity of someone in another city?
Because that would be lying.
Cover story is a lie.
You gave her the scarf.
What was I supposed to do? I had to give her a half-truth to divert from the full truth. It's still a cover story. I didn't say who I was.
You think she bought it?
Would I still be standing here if she didn't?
Good point. Probably be selling churros in Tijuana. At least it'd be hot. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some customers. What can I get for you, ladies? You want me to warm up a pretzel?
Meanwhile.
Come on, Corinne, please tell me you left it here.
Dave searches through sheet music. Alone at his desk, he writes with a pen.
Just the night. Come on, Dave, think. No, don't think.
Dave continues to write. Outside, city lights glow. Dave goes to his door, dressed in a suit.
Dave, I just can't apologize for everything I put you through. And for what it's worth, Corinne and Tim, they're on the outs again.
Gerald, you got nothing to apologize for. You told me to fight for her, and that is exactly what I'm gonna do. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
I don't understand.
No time to explain. We got a concert to get to. Let's go.
Come on. The game is afoot.
Harold shuts the door and follows Dave. At the community center, performers gather for the concert.
I'm serious. This is nice.
Corinne wears a red dress. She removes her coat and the star scarf.
Corinne. Hi, Dora. I need you to learn this ASAP.
What is it?
Don't ask questions. Just do it.
Okay. Dave, you came.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Thank you for the ornament. I loved it. I'm really sorry. I should have known it was you.
You've only got 10 minutes, Corinne. Now go learn that solo.
Solo?
Kathleen's graciously decided that it's your night to shine. Now hurry along.
Merry Christmas, Corinne.
Dave smiles.
I'm gonna go get a good seat.
As he hurries off, Corinne smiles.
Corinne, I need you.
Corinne looks at sheet music. The title reads, "'Twas the Night," music by Henry Stockton, lyrics by Dave Sheridan.
Just a minute.
Corinne smiles and reaches for her grandmother's scarf. In the auditorium, a crowd settles. Dora walks on stage.
Welcome, everyone, to our 20th annual Christmas concert. Tonight, we have a little something special for you. It's not in our program, but first, I'd like to welcome to the stage the center's newest benefactor, Mr. David Sheridan.
Corinne smiles, the star scarf draped over her shoulders.
David has been so generous as to furnish our players with brand new instruments. So please put your hands together.
Jerry and Harold applaud at the back of the auditorium. Dave approaches a microphone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Corinne, would you please come take center stage?
Corinne joins Dave, Dora, and the choir on stage.
Thank you all for coming. Tonight, I want to celebrate not just Christmas, but somebody who embodies the whole spirit of the season. Corinne Nelson. I opened my music store a long time ago because I wanted to create a community where music brought people together. But I needed her grace and her patience and her infinite love of music to teach me how. Corinne brought me to the community. And we're all very lucky to have her here tonight. I know she's been an inspiration to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now to sing "Twas the Night," Corinne Nelson.
Harold turns to Jerry.
You did it.
You did it, Harold. You ready? Your music is about to hit the airwaves.
What does that mean?
Your song is going to reach the heavens and go on forever.
Dave smiles up at Corinne.
Where you belong. 'Twas the night. 'Twas the night. 'Twas the night.
Christmas, my darling, tonight.
Corinne smiles at the crowd. Corinne exits the stage. At the back of the auditorium, Harold applauds cheerfully. Then, Corinne hugs Dave.
Thank you.
Did you like your present?
I love my present.
Merry Christmas.
Eve.
Eve.
I didn't know you wrote lyrics.
Oh, I didn't have music until you.
They grin.
Got me to see that. He got me to see
you.
Corinne and Dave share a tender kiss. Jerry pats Harold's shoulder in congratulations. Harold follows Jerry out of the auditorium. In front of the crowd, Dave and Corinne grin together, still in an embrace. After the concert, Corinne and Dave walk downstairs.
Harold!
That was a beautiful song, Corinne. Voice of an angel.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. More than you can know.
Corinne steps toward Harold.
Your scarf.
That belongs to you now. That's where it belongs.
Corinne steps closer.
Tell me something. Are you him?
Who?
H.
I can't say another word. I made a promise. But I can tell you this. As long as we have music in our heart, we're all H. I have to go now, and you won't be seeing me again for a very long time, but I want you to know that I'll always be thinking of you, and as long as you sing loud and often enough, you can bet that wherever I am, I'll be dancing along.
She smiles tearfully.
I promise you, Corinne, it's for the best. I know this must all seem so mysterious to you, but maybe you can just think of it as
like a Christmas miracle.
You got a smart one there, Corinne. You never let him go.
Harold looks into Corinne's eyes. As Harold leaves, she turns to Dave. He smiles and gently rubs her shoulder. Near a double doorway, Jerry turns to Harold.
Harold, it's time.
White lights glow through the door's windows.
Is that my light? Dave and Corinne. They did it.
No. Henry Stockton. It was you. Merry Christmas Eve.
As Jerry looks Henry in the eyes, the double doors slowly swing open. A human figure steps through in a haze of light.
What?
Henry stares, chin trembling with tears of joy.
Huh.
Henry turns to Jerry and points toward the community center.
Keep an eye on Corinne for me.
You bet. Good luck, H.
Henry smiles, then slowly walks into the light to join Emily. Jerry smiles as he watches the couple's happy reunion. Emily smiles as Henry walks toward her. At long last, the couple shares a passionate kiss. They embrace, smiling. With their arms around each other's waists, Emily and Dave stroll into the light together. Then, they fade. Text, 1 year later. At Christmas time, Corinne decorates a mantle. She wears the star scarf. Dave joins her. On an end table, Corinne and Dave smile in their wedding photo. Corinne holds the caroler ornament. Dave offers her wine.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Dave and Corinne toast, then look at the ornament together. A tiny caroler wears a star scarf.
It's him.
Harold?
I just know it is.
You know, without Harold, we never would have ended up together. And we never would have made these ridiculously sweet Christmas cards.
The couple grins on a photo card.
I think this belongs in my grandmother's scrapbook.
I think you're right.
Corinne carries their card to the couch, then opens the scrapbook.
Oh. These pages are stuck together. Got it.
In a photo, Emily and Henry smile together. The scarf drapes over their shoulders.
Dave, I think you should look at this.
Dave joins Corinne on the couch. He stares at the photo of Corinne's grandparents, then peers at Corinne, puzzled.
I don't understand. He is your
grandfather.
Corinne and Dave smile. She lovingly sets the scrapbook on the coffee table, then picks up the caroler ornament. On the Christmas tree, she hangs up the carolers. Then, she smiles as Dave wraps his arms around her waist.
Thank you, Harold.
Henry. But you can call him H.
They gaze at the ornament together. Then, they share a tender kiss in front of the Christmas tree. Corinne drapes the scarf over their shoulders. The couple smiles and gazes up at the tree in wonder.